Spade. I was like, he's probably the most like, if you were to bring him home, if a girl was to bring him home, they're like, oh, he's a sweet kid, but has no idea like, oh yeah, this guy also has a very like raw and dark side to him. And then we were sitting there and I go, oh, his wife cheated on him too. Like, that's a big part of his story. TV show Crashing. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's it. And so that was a whole nother secondary, like alike that was kind of the same thing. So Kalen would be definitely be Pete Holmes. No. I don't think we're going to bring it up. So,
you don't want to?
Well, I just want to make sure we're not on the same topics over and over and over. Yeah, I mean, we're just talking about the things we like. That's all this hive is, and sometimes, and a lot of that is about pop culture, movies,
and our top favorites of whatever.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. I mean, in all reality, that's kind of what this is. So,
Johnny, talk in your mic. Make sure you're good.
The hive is like what our minds think about things. You're already recording.
Yes.
So you did you get all that?
A little
the
bit
fact
of that.
That Brady's Marc Maron because
I didn't get
he's,
that. Yeah.
Brady's Marc Maron because he's miserable, probably had a good couple opportunities he squandered, but he's doing okay now. Johnny, we said you'd probably be more like a Bill Burr.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you like him, but I actually think you're probably closer to a Joe Rogan. Eric would be who? Like, if he was a stand-up comedian, who would he be?
Man, Eric.
He's not here today. So that means
he'd have to be Asian.
I was gonna say. So that means after you listen to this podcast, you're not gonna be hungry for more.
Bobby Lee, or
you're already touching,
or Joe Coy.
There, let me.
It's both things I have are broken: this boom stand and this XLR. Neither one of them work 100%. Nice. Hey, if I just don't touch it, we're good.
Do you think you can do that for an hour?
Well, once it starts dangling, I might have to mess with it to get it back up again.
Take a stab at who I would be. There are about five I'd be really cool about. And there's like 20 that I would hate. And I'm sure you guys are going to pick one of the 20. And I'll just be like, yeah, I guess that's who I am. Since we're touching on this real fast.
What?
There aren't enough female comedians for there to be an Alexa.
I would say Eliza Schlesinger.
I could see that.
For Alexa.
Yeah, I could see that.
Have you guys ever listened to Christina P?
No.
She's probably one of the best female stand-ups out there.
Hey, all right.
She's amazing. She's got two Netflix specials.
Netflix!
So go check them out.
Yeah.
But for you, like, be Louis
C.K.?
Maybe?
Without the weird stuff?
No, Dylan.
That's interesting. I guess, what's your reasoning for that, you think?
I don't know.
Think the comedy's similar? Brady
said
something.
I don't know if it's maybe more his delivery than anything else.
Brady said something along the lines of like, which brought me to tears at Pluckers for lunch, that he said, I said something like, I think I'm better in group settings. And I think like one out of every four, like if we were doing like four improv sets and I was feeding off you guys, one out of every four, they would say, oh, man, Josh is the funniest guy on stage. The other three times, like, why is that guy even there? That's how I saw myself as a comedian.
I don't think it would be that drastic, although I do think just even us doing these podcasts consistently, it's like every few, you just get on fire.
Yeah, and that's why I kind of see it like the right wheelhouse. Like, we start going down the right aisle where I'm like, boom, boom, boom. Brady said it would be more than 1-4. Yeah. Brady said it's more than four, one out of four. He goes, you're more consistent than that. You got to give yourself more credit. And that was the nicest thing I think Brady's ever said to me as a brother and as a friend, that it brought me to tier. I gave him one tier.
Single tier.
And then that was it. But,
started choking up watching Frozen yesterday.
Still haven't watched it.
I've watched,
and they're coming out with Frozen 2, so I guess I should.
I've watched condensed versions because my kid, he thinks that the redhead girl's the funniest thing that's ever happened ever.
Let me tell you what. Did you ever post that video?
No.
There is a video, and the audience is missing out. I'm going to say this. I even thought about this on the way to the studio today, that there are some things that will make me just put joy in my life is when kids, when I hear a genuine baby or little kid laughing hysterically. And the fact that you were watching Sebastian
Maniscalco.
Yeah.
I never know how to say it right.
Maniscalco or whatever. He has some Netflix specials, stand-up Scalpo. Comedian.
Is there a P in there?
He is. I don't think so. He is literally, me and my wife watched that video you sent like a half a dozen times because I was like, it's like he understands like the, like he says something like standing in line at something. And it's almost like your kid, Maddie, he's like sitting there just going, yeah, I can relate.
I know. He was laughing at all the right punchlines right and the right times. And it was so ridiculous.
You should post it because it doesn't show his face. I know you're wanting to keep him.
It just makes me nervous.
I know, but
for my first,
it's hilariously.
I've never posted him online except one time he was in a little bit of a story, but I put a emoji over his face.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nerve wracking to me for the first time I ever like just blatantly post him online to be like tagging all of Twitter. That was making me super paranoid to just like leave it to the fishes.
Yeah.
You know?
You can put the emoji over his
face. I can play the audio real quick.
Yeah, play the audio and see if we can get that because this voice is going to make me laugh.
He's like, hey, this guy's killing me.
He does it for the next like 2 minutes.
Yeah, he does. But dude, check this out. This is him watching that Do You Wanna Build a Snowman?
Okay.
He's like,
there's nothing that would put more joy in my. That's why I mean it's a miracle that my wife isn't pregnant. Like I don't know what it is because there's no way we should. Every time, like you sending me that video goes, let's put another baby in there, like because they do fun things.
Yeah, I like it a lot. Even the sucky parts aren't like it's just you just deal with it. It doesn't even
great.
Like matter.
Buzz. When you hear a lot of people talking at the same time, it kinda has a similar sound to a freaking beehive. Or maybe that's a metaphor I'm trying to make work. We write songs for a living, but I don't think this one works. He just rhymed work with work. Yes, he did. That lazy guy. Oh, just shut your mouth, sit back, relax, and listen to the hive.
Hey, welcome to the hive. My name's Josh.
My name's Kalen.
My name's Johnny.
And we don't have our queen bee. I mentioned her first because last time the three of us were together, we mentioned her very little and at the end. So,
and ironically, it's still currently our most popular episode. Just saying. Just saying.
We thought diversity helped. We got rid
Dream
of
team.
Two minorities. And we're doing great.
You think the Chris Hemsworth in the title has anything to do with it?
I don't know, maybe.
But, I mean, all of our titles have someone...
I know, maybe this should be more famous, though. Like Ariana Grande, Pete Holmes. Yeah. Or not Pete Holmes, whatever the dude with the pig that she dated.
Pete Davidson.
Yeah, that one.
Dude with the pig that she dated. Yeah. Google that.
I like Pete Davidson. I think he's really funny. I do have... And this is so judgmental, but like, do you remember the roast of Rob Lowe?
Yeah, he's great.
You mentioned
this on the podcast before that he did that and he was coming up and then after that he's rebellious.
He's like face tattooed, bleached hair and all this stuff, this rebel, and it's like, dude, you also looked homeschooled like a year ago.
Like 10 months ago your mom said you could change your hair color.
Yeah.
You moved out of your parents' space.
You're also still old enough to get married, tattoo your arms with each other's names, and buy a pig within like a year.
Yeah.
So that just kind of shows the mental maturity there. But I mean,
yeah.
If I would have had that many eyeballs paying attention to what I was doing when I was growing up, I would have as many people making fun of the decisions I made. So
whenever I was, you know, I think we found out they're like 21, 22 or something like that. I think whenever I was in high school, I wanted a bunch of bad tattoos. Like, I remember writing them. I remember if I would have had all the money in the world, money was the reason why I didn't get tattoos whenever I turned 18 or 19.
It's still the reason that I have no tattoos.
I've got tattoos since, but I'm more strategic with it. And I would tell anyone,
get tattoos after you're like 24, 25. Girls, 20, 23. Guys, 24, 25. Because I didn't get my first tattoo until I was 25, 26. And, but I would have, I would know that I'd have bad tattoos. Like, I remember I wanted, like, from my wrist up to my elbow, just flames, like blue and red flames.
Yeah.
Pulling the that, Chester like Bennington. Punk rock,
I was going to say Chester, thing. I think, is why.
Oh, is he did
yeah.
that?
Yeah. I remember thinking that was super cool yeah. because of Chester.
And then I, on my shoulder, I wanted the heart with a banner that had a cross coming out of it that said, like, something, you know, some probably do your feet hurt, some MXPX line or whatever. Yeah, I would have hated all those tattoos. I would have owned it. I would have been like, yeah, that was
yeah.
That was
I really dodged a bullet. There was one time I for my 21st birthday, me, my fiance at the time, just like a bunch of friends, we were going out to. We're like, yeah, I'm gonna get tattooed 21st birthday. They were all the tattoo shops were closed at that point in time because I guess it was that late. But I was
you at the Nard Dog on your butt.
Yes. No, I was actually going to get like a Skillet logo or something.
Oh, no.
And I. Yeah. Which is pretty.
That would have been bad.
That would have been very bad. And that was like at the point where they put out an album I was really into. And then after that, they just went downhill. And so
have you ever gotten a bad band tattoo or wanted to get a bad band tattoo?
So long.
I don't think I ever wanted to get. Oh, you know what? Thursday's
the Dove.
The Dove.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
Would
though.
Be one of the only band logos that I would want to get.
Speaking of Thursday, man, how
yeah,
was that?
Yeah, you did
how
you was, both shows,
dude. I went to both shows. So, I have been reborn.
Isn't that one of their records? Cole?
No,
no. Well, for everybody listening, Thursday just did a 2-night extravaganza.
Yeah, they're on tour with their 20th anniversary right now, and they, night one they played all of Full Collapse top to bottom, and uh-huh. then three encores. And then night two, they did All of War All the Time, top to bottom, with three encores.
Same three songs on the encore?
No, two different ones. But
well,
they,
probably from opposite.
They did two out of the three were different, and then they did one that was the same both nights, the encore.
Did you get on stage?
No, I've always treated Thursday, I don't know, there's
like
something
church.
About them. When I go see Thursday, except once, actually, but every time I've seen Thursday other than one time, I always go find a good spot to just, I just want to watch. I want to watch their hands. Yeah. I want to listen to the instruments and watch everyone. I want to just
oh,
see
Oh, you
it.
Were up in the balcony.
Yeah, so
yeah, I remember
that's what I did.
Post.
I went and we posted up and found a great spot, and I was like, I just
want
to watch.
You and Haley went?
Yeah, Haley and I went. We got a hotel in Dallas, and her parents watched the baby over
aww.
The weekend.
Oh, that's awesome.
Dude, it was so cool. We got to just go to sleep and then wake up when we wanted. We went and ate
I
in
almost
Dallas.
Hit you up that night. Because we were thinking about going out to eat, and I thought he's probably got to rush home to get the kid. I wish I would have because we played that same night. We played in at House of Blues.
Oh well, we were out Friday night.
Yeah, Friday night, yes. But you went home Friday night, right?
No, we stayed in Dallas.
Oh,
I stayed in Dallas Friday and Saturday night.
We
missed opportunity.
It. Man, we would have had a late night. Haley
it's okay. It was a good little weekend getaway for the
you
wife and I.
Wife, yeah.
She loved it too. We also saw Vane, which was one of the most impressive, heavy shows I've ever seen in my life. Like I told Haley when their set was over, I was like, I'm not sure if I've ever seen something that heavy live. Now, there's probably bands that would be argued as heavier, but you know when you see someone live,
but the way they present,
the way they
them,
present
so.
It was so unapologetically abrasive. That it was making me laugh out loud, dude. I was just standing there with smiles on my faces, and it'd just be the most brutal thing. And then it was like the
they
way
were
they
were playing with them.
Yeah, the way they wrote their songs, the way I described it to Haley is, I was like, it's like they took the heaviest part of a bunch of songs and then made just the heaviest parts one song, and then they did that for their whole set. And it was really it
what
was
key
really
do you think
inspiring.
They played in? Play like some super low.
It was pretty low. I don't know.
I always think that Zayo is probably the hardest, the heaviest band I've ever seen live.
They're up there too.
Especially certain parts like that what is it, the song Savannah?
Yeah, Savannah.
From Liberate Extemperis. That like what is that part? It's like I never know what he says.
Right.
Yeah, you never
but
know.
I,
you just
but I kinda know then. Yeah. It's like you catch on to like The machine bleeds. Yeah, that.
Yeah, yeah.
Right before that. But I remember, like, that happening live and everyone at Cornerstone losing their mind. Like, God, Cornerstone.
Yeah.
Dude, remember watching Zayo at So What Fest? And it was just... Yeah. It was the funniest part, Josh, was like, Zayo's getting ready to set up, and you just watched a very unorganized... It was the super organism at work. It was like, no joke, 500 kids under the age of 23... just kind of sifted away, and then all the 30-year-olds kind of just took their place. Yeah. There was no organization. No one talked about it.
Before and after picture and say, this was 10 years apart.
Yeah, you could. And it was really 10 minutes apart. Yeah. And it was just, no one argued. Everyone just kind of like shifted.
Like, yeah, we're just waiting.
And then Zayo played, and then everyone just shifted back.
It was so cool. But I liked watching the young kids watch Zayo.
Yeah, the kids who hadn't seen
like, what is it? Like, they're like, we have never heard of this band.
They just and released just, a video.
I watched it last night.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's great.
I need to check it out.
I
want to
see it.
I've been trying to watch a lot of music videos to get some ideas. Hey, I got a...
Must be the money.
I got a guy who's going to do an animated music video for me.
Hey, good.
He started it already. He sent me some emails with drawings he's doing.
Drawings?
Drawings. Yeah. I don't say drawings no more.
I know you don't. I don't do double negatives no more either.
I got shamed.
Shamed by a teacher.
That's awesome, man. I'm pumped about that. Cool. What is do you have anything you want to bring before we go to our first topic?
Let me see. Was there anything that blew my mind?
Do you have that pulled up that I want to talk about?
I'll have to get it from your phone.
Over the weekend.
Okay.
Oh, you know what?
Hang on, I might have it.
Jeff from Thursday said something that I really liked, and I'd like to share that. So when they were playing all of the Full Collapse album, He was talking to the crowd, and he was like, thank you guys for making all this happen. It's, you know, the typical compliment the fans thing. And then he was like, this isn't a timeless record. He said this record is very much one specific time. And he was like, and the fact that you guys take that and remember that time and hold it dear to you is why we get to do this. And I was like, that's such a cool way to put it. Plus, I like the idea of, as an artist, being able to write something that's considered timeless, that's cool. But I also love the idea of being able to write something that people look at and they go, I know exactly what was going on when that happened.
Right.
Like, dude, wouldn't it be just as big, if not bigger, of a compliment for somebody to be able to say, I can look at what you created and I know exactly what time, what was going on. You captured that time period in your piece of art. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I really like that.
I like the way you said that.
Well, he said it, but I
like the way you said that he said that.
I paraphrased.
I just sent it to you.
You guys want to hear something funny that happened, though?
Yes.
So we walk into Trees, and I was like, let's just get inside, get our wristband or whatever, and then go get some food. And so we go in, we do that, we look around, we look at the merch, and we're like, all right, let's get out of here. Let's go get something to eat. Because the show, doors opened at 7:30, but the first band didn't go until 8:30. And there was only two bands. It was Vane and Thursday, both nights. And so I was like, that's an hour.
Vane play the same set?
Yes, they did. There was quite a bit of, not everyone went to both nights.
Okay.
And I thought what they should do is just play the same set. Because it was better the second time for me, kind of knowing what was coming.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it was so good, why not? But, so we go into Trees, and we're like, all right, we've seen everything, let's go down to Sirius Pizza, two buildings over, you know, just down the street. And we get ready to walk out, and the door guy looks at us, and he goes, y'all turning in already? And I was like, ha, 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 no, we're going to get food. And he said, there's no re-entry. And I was like, what? And he goes, you didn't see it on the door? And I said, I wasn't looking. I thought we were grown-ups. And he didn't laugh. This guy was mad at me the whole time, and I did not know why. And he was like, well, you're not allowed to come in and out. And I was like, are you joking? And he was like, no. And then the lady doing the tickets chimed in, and she was like, It's almost sold out tonight, so being able to keep track of who's paid and who's not, of 500 people coming in and out, we can't do that. And I was like, okay, well, what am I going to eat? Because I wanted to go eat. And I felt trapped for a second. I literally started to have like a panic attack because I was like, I can't believe at almost 30 years old, I'm being held against my will to leave a music venue.
You're not being held unless you want to see the thing.
Yeah. So then Haley and I go out, we go out to the smoking patio area to
order
talk.
A pizza?
So we start figuring out what to do. They did say we could order food and we could eat it. And I was like, I'm not going to stand with like a freaking to-go box of food in a venue and eat. So we're trying to figure out what we're going to do. And she's starving. I'm starving. We're both grumpy because of that. And I just start getting rage inside. And I was like, I can't not try again. So I was like, let me go talk to her. So I went up to the ticket lady, not the door guy, because he wasn't very nice. And I said, hey, if it's just, I said, do you think you can remember what I look like? And just, you only have to remember two people coming in and out. Just me and my wife that we left and we're coming back. And she was like, if you tip me, you can. And I said, I'll tip the hell out of you. Yeah. She was like, 10 bucks. And I was like, here you go. And then she kind of laughed. And I was like, I want to be able to go get food and come back like a grown-up can.
Right.
And then she let us. And well, Haley was real proud of me for being a
assertive husband. That's awesome.
That was good.
Yeah, $10. It was so
swinging
worth it.
Swinging that big, bad...
that little stack of 20s I had, man.
Yeah. Bag of money.
No, actually, luckily, I had a $10 bill, and she said $10. And I mean, that's a little bit of a rip, but at the same time...
No, man. I mean, you got what you wanted. Money talks.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
So there that there's
you
that.
Live that LA lifestyle for a second that like hey get us a good table and you dropped you would have had to drop like a C note
so here's the thing that I kind of felt like that except I did it with no trying to be cool it was sheer just begging almost it was like
get what you want.
What do I have to do to get to go and then come back can you believe that
that is pretty insane that's crazy.
I just didn't. We can't keep track. Well, then you have one entrance and watch people coming in.
Yeah, tag them.
How many people can run in this door, this single person sized door?
Yeah.
How many people can run in and out of here without you catching them?
And just to be devil's advocate here, okay? I mean, you could go out, you can hand your ticket to somebody and say, oh, I'm just trying to get back in and have that lady remember your face. You could have sold. You and Haley's ticket, now there's two more people coming in.
Well, the ticket has to get scanned.
I know, but they could say, well, they let me out. I'm saying in a world where they let them out and come back in.
Mm-hmm.
They can say, no, I went to go grab something to eat and I came back.
Where's your wristband?
Oh, then did you get a wristband?
Mm-hmm. So as a ticket person, if I was scanning a ticket that wasn't scanning because it was showing up to have already been scanned and they didn't have a wristband...
Then you can't get in.
Then I would assume.
All right, you found it. I guess so.
But I had tons of sympathy. I get it. It's a busy venue. It's busy people. I just.
A big night.
I wanted food.
Well, I wanted to bring up a thing that came up. Indivision Music posted something, and a listener and a friend of ours, Noah Hardwick, said we should talk about this on the podcast. There's a band, rock band, dabbles in the or. Mainly lives in the Christian rock industry, called Red.
Mm-hmm.
I know the only thing I know about Red is I see their name everywhere at Christian festivals or in the Christian industry when it comes to rock. They're one of those bigger names. They made like a crossover to major label, and one of the previous the drummer for the record Polarity from The Wedding. That drummer was
he was with them for a while at least.
Yeah, and he's not now. But all that to say, that's the only thing. I couldn't tell you a single song. Never was a fan. And so that's my history with Red.
Gotcha.
I
remember they came out in a time when I was kind of transitioning out of listening to primary like Christian rock into quote unquote real music. So I remember I like their first record I did purchase and maybe even their second one. And I never was a huge fan of it, but I do remember listening to a couple albums. And
did you buy the record ever?
Yeah, I bought the first record, definitely the second, I think maybe even the third. Okay. But after that, I kind of dropped off.
I'm going to guess that you never bought any of the records.
You are correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's because we all had, I think Johnny and I had the most similar upbringing.
Yeah,
with the
you
music.
Guys were more punk rock, and I definitely was a little bit more of like, I'd say like nu metal or like...
The Christian music we were into immediately made fun of a band like Red. Like, in the sense, or maybe not even made fun of, but who goes, yeah, that's not us.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't mind bands like Breaking Benjamin. And I like,
good for you, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not. That's,
you were more open minded.
Yeah, yeah. I'm definitely. That's exactly what I'm trying to say.
Let me tell you this. I heard a lot of people that I assumed just listened to the radio started talking about a band called Red, and my brain quickly went, "Yeah, I'm probably not interested in." And that from then on is how I made that decision. So it's pretty judgmental looking back, but. Hey. I do remember hearing a little bit of it once somewhere. It was like being played over, and I was like, what is this? And someone told me, and I remember thinking, this is actually a lot better than I was expecting. But I have never even listened to one song from beginning to end.
I assume, Eric's not here to make the joke, but I assume they sound like Chevelle.
There are some similarities, and I do like Chevelle. So, I mean, there you go.
Well, they announced this past week that they started a Kickstarter. And they're asking for $100,000.
Well, GoFundMe if you want to be specific.
Oh, yeah. So, crowdfunding, my bad.
Yeah.
No, crowdfunding, $100,000. The catch is, well, why don't you read what you were reading while we were driving?
How much do you want me to read? Because it is a fair amount, but I can go
just
through
the,
it.
I'll, just I can... the intro, and I'll stop you whenever.
Okay. We'll keep going through it. Okay. It says... in all caps, let's fill you in, and then it begins. As some of you may know, we recently reached a crossroads in our career. Red got started by signing to a record deal with Sony back in 2005. Over the next 12 years, we released 6 albums, sold 2 million albums worldwide, logged millions of streams, received 2 Grammy nominations, won 6 Dove Awards, scored 24 consecutive number one singles, released 2 top 10 Billboard 200 albums and played over 2,500 shows in 25 plus countries. We recently saw our first album go gold and we scored 2 gold records, quote unquote singles, for Breathe Into Me and Already
and
Over.
None of that money.
Apparently.
Well, I'm actually more just surprised of having 20 something number one singles, but like what
they're
chart is that?
They're the Christian rock chart for sure. But they don't state that.
Of course they wouldn't.
Yeah, nobody would.
Who would?
No, yeah, exactly.
It's about the story you're trying to sell. Go
ahead. It said, thank you in all caps, !! etc. Back in the fall, we had the option to re-sign to our current label, which is a small flex because they're like, we had the option to re-sign, but they didn't drop us.
But we decided, I'm going to tell you right now what's going to happen because a lot of bands that had, you know, this is 12 years, a band 12 years
on Sony
old. And yeah, maybe more like 15 years old total.
Oh, for sure. Well, yeah.
And we know that all these bands that got a decent push or got signed in the Christian industry and in the mainstream industry that broke up or had a following are kind of regurgitating and cultivating that they're the last group of rock and roll that still has a following because they, as they got older, they kept cultivating music for their audience that's also getting older. And now that audience has money. So now they're trying to get some of that money. So you'll see a pattern with a lot of bands. They're not the first and they won't be the last where they go, hey, you know who's the best label? You guys. You guys are our best label. And we're going to sign to you guys.
Do they say something like that in a minute?
Go ahead.
Okay. So back in the fall, we had the option to re-sign to our current label. But after much consideration, we decided that branching out and starting our own label platform was the best move. Why? !! It's simple, Red's greatest strength outside has always been you, our fans. You're the only ones who have shown as much heart, soul, and love for this project as we have, and we wouldn't be here without you. Mm-hmm. We want the next chapter of Red to be the most true to us and to you, and with your help, we know it will be. We are asking for your help to record new music and share it around the world. We have already begun the process of writing and demoing. That part is always free. Where it gets expensive is recording, mixing, mastering, marketing, etc.
Okay, that's, hold on a second. Okay. Wait, is there anything better you think you need to push on real quick?
Yeah, and that's what we need your help with, and we need it now! All caps. Your support has always kept us going, and this will be no different, only now that we'll be able to release our music at will.
Okay, so I get the idea that you need money to do all that. What I don't understand is I've heard some pretty phenomenal hard rock albums made for under $5,000.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I know that specifically their guitar player has a portable recording rig that that Brady Case has made him that's on their bus that he can literally bust out at any point and, like, track. And
so they don't. So do they need.
Yeah.
The question is, do they need $100,000 to record their next album?
Oh, no, not at all. The only thing that they, like, I could even just giving them a little bit of credit, like, marketing. Is expensive.
Marketing. So let's say on their level, $10,000.
But yeah,
to market their record like they're used to.
But I mean,
and then so now we're up to $15,000.
Now here's the thing.
So now you have.
Now if they spend another
$75,000.
If they no, that's only $85,000 that we still have left. Now let's even think about the idea. Like maybe they have someone outside the band to mix and master.
Well, here's what they do. Jason Rao. You've heard that name before?
No. Yeah, I have. But maybe that's $10,000.
Well, yeah, he was actually one of the original guitar players in Red, and now he plays for Breaking Benjamin, but he's also a super well-known producer, audio production guy.
Okay.
So even if they're like, hey, Jason, let's record with you because he basically helps write their songs.
$25,000.
Anyway,
$30,000.
Maybe. Yeah, that's probably
everything.
And that's probably a little bit on the high side.
I believe $30,000 was the budget for the question.
So let's
But that was back in 2005.
When everything was at its height.
Yeah.
Let's think about that. That's still $70,000 less than what these guys are.
100%. As a band that's raised $20,000 on a crowdfunding to do a record, I get it. I know if I would have had the wisdom I have now, we could have done so much more with that $20,000. We didn't know any better, so we just threw it all at a producer that we thought was worth it, and he was worth it. But we were also naive to just not negotiate, and we were yes men. We're like, we want to work with the same guys that work with like Jack White and the Black Keys and Kings of Leon. Of course, we're gonna pay him money, and because we want to record an analog tape, yeah, totally, let's do it. So,
which is a cool story.
It is a cool story, but here's the thing: this seems a little bit more like, hey, we need a bunch of money if we're gonna go forward, and. They've already, I think we look today and they're like at 48,000 they've raised.
Right now, yeah, $48,240.
Now, this seems a little bit like the rock star mentality.
Yeah.
Like they're used to a certain, they think, the crazy, Johnny, we haven't even told you the crazy part about all this.
Yeah, I mean, and I'll read the last few, like just two paragraphs left, and I think that kind of sums it up. Is it, what does this mean? You won't have to wait for music to come out every 2 to 3 years. You can we can do whatever we want when we want it with whomever we want to in order to make the best rock music we know how.
You can actually do that without $100,000.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
We're doing that.
Exactly.
I wish we had $100,000.
Man, it'd be nice
if we
had a budget.
We could do that?
Would you consider helping us stick around so we can keep making music? ?
Because you can't unless you have
apparently not. Right. Your support is the only thing that will help Red survive.
Nope.
This
is just a lot of lying.
Yeah, we are so grateful. We are so grateful for your love and support. And the best way we know how to say thank you is by bringing you great music for years to come.
That's also not true.
Yeah. And what do you get out of your donation? What does my donation get me?
I love that they use the word donation too.
Yeah.
What am I paying for? Just tell me.
Yeah. It's like, what does my donation get me? That's simple too. You get Red.
They are not giving, you know how you, much crowdfunding? You normally get like the next record or this limited shirt. Mm-hmm. Nothing.
You get
They've
to see.
They've raised $48,000 on, hey, can you help
and
me?
They don't have to send a single thing.
They don't
thing
have
out.
To send a single thing to anyone.
Hey.
It's that you get to see the band continue to tour and make music. 100% of your donation will go to Red Music to aid the process of making music and delivering it to you. When will we hear new music? We will start releasing new music this spring. How else can you help? Please share this campaign with everyone you know who loves Red.
So if you like Red, go donate. But we're about to talk crap.
Yeah.
Have you ever done a crowdfunding?
Yeah, I've done a handful of them.
Yeah, for at least of these, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how much money did you spend raise?
For Change Will Come, we raised $16,000. And then for Mirror Image, we did like $8,000.
And
then we never went that high after Change Will Come.
I never have been involved in crowdfunding.
I have, as I said earlier. How much, how, it feels a little weird asking, right?
Yeah,
it's a little guilty.
No, here's why it doesn't feel guilty. Because anyone I asked, I said, basically you're buying everything ahead of time so we can have the money to then give it to you.
It's still...
We also always broke down exactly where all the expenses went. And so you could see, here's how much money we're raising, here's how much everything's going to cost, and here's what we're going to use for tour. Also notice none of that was our own paycheck. Which, by the way, guaranteed, these guys are giving them each a year's salary. Everyone in that band's getting a year's salary out of this.
I mean, and I'm
can
sure...
Can we talk about the video real quick?
Oh, yeah.
The idea that, like, there's a 10-minute video, maybe 8-minute. I'm exaggerating.
And I haven't watched the whole thing.
And I watched almost all of it, and I go, they couldn't get a mic on these guys? Like, is there in this hallway or big... One of their houses with, like, a bunch of echoing, like... No wonder they need $100,000. They need $100,000 just to get a good microphone to where they can you can actually hear them ask for money.
You know, I'm just really struggling with, like, part of me is like, more power to you. I mean,
yeah, I get it. Yeah. Like, they've cultivated a following that they got almost $50,000 for saying, hey, help us out. And I get it. There have been times I've, like, our van broke down like 2 years ago. Night Rainbow Supermoon, rest in peace. that van cost us $1,000 when we got it. But now we don't have a 15-passenger van to tour in. So I end up using renting or using my own vehicles. And how I wish I would have at the time gone, hey, guys, our van broke down. We need $800 to get it going. But I felt bad because we didn't have anything to give people. Mm-hmm. And so and here, that's $800. And how I wish I would have said, hey, guys, we need a new – if you want Ravenhill out there, we obviously don't – have the following of Red. I get it. But, excuse me. But I feel like we could have asked for $1,000 and got it probably pretty easily. I just felt guilty about that.
Yeah, I mean, the internet's showing us, what is that, ask not, have not.
Yeah.
You know, you're seeing people who get away with it constantly. I mean, there's girls making a living playing video games in their underwear. They just sit there in their underwear and play a video game, and people pay them to watch.
I play video games in my underwear all the time. I'm just not recording it and putting it out there. Maybe I should.
Am I the only one? You guys tell me. Am I the only one who's ever been playing a video game, and you're in your underwear, and you're playing, and it gets so stressful, you feel the sweat from your pit start going down your rib cage?
I've never done that, but I did. Wait.
Kingdom Hearts, I was fighting Ursula, and I remember feeling my sweat go down my side. I was like, dear God, this is intense.
I would say that probably has happened to me, playing like Sonic or something back in the day. Yeah.
Kingdom Hearts 3 is out.
Yeah.
I saw that.
I haven't played 2, so.
My band Perfect Imperfect, we told Jason Hobbs if he wanted to be in it, he had to beat both Kingdom Hearts.
That was the
stipulation.
That proved your worth to us.
Hold on, there we go. Mm-hmm. Mainly it was because we were always talking about it. And we were like, dude, if you want to know what's going on, you need to play it. It's going to change your life.
Yeah, it's a weird thing they're doing.
Yeah, dude, having the guts to ask. Yeah, dude, that's what's blowing my mind, especially the whole what do you get?
You get the band to continue.
Me.
Trust me, I'm worth it.
Dude, it's kind of gross.
I can't see myself at that point ever. I could, if I was, who's the
do they even break down where the money's going?
No.
Is there any kind they just of, said $100,000.
Well, you know what's interesting with the GoFundMe? You don't have to make your goal to keep it. So they probably said, let's just make it outrageously high.
Let's get what we can.
Okay. Hopefully the outcry, because I read some of the
I would love to hear these guys complain about people giving to church, though. That would be hilarious. Go ahead.
I read some of the things, and most of them are like, what I've read is pretty like, it seems kind of crummy, but I mean, sure, I guess, you know, kind of like us, I guess, a little bit like, more power to you if you can get money for nothing. I mean, I guess like in all reality, I understand Ravenhill has done pretty well when we're on the road selling merch or whatever, but we don't ever come back with a ridiculous amount of money. It usually is gone before, like, we got other expenses and this and that. I get that. And so I jokingly said they had all these accolades and they didn't save any of that money. But I know that there's three guys in that band and they have all that stuff. And just feels like they're asking for a lot of money.
I wonder how much they still have to pay back on the 6 records they did.
Yeah, I that might have a.
I don't know.
If only one of them has gone gold.
Out of six albums, and you got to pay for all of them or pay the label back.
Yeah.
That's probably where some of it's going, maybe.
Maybe the case. But I wanted to check in comparison to, like, Emery. I guess Emery did 127,000.
How much did they ask for, though?
50,000.
And they give you...
Yeah. No, I mean... Almost too much content.
If
Red was asking for 50, and we're giving, hey, if nothing else... As soon as we come out with our next thing, like for whatever, maybe for the next year, whatever we're planning on releasing, you get digital copies for free, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
True. Yeah.
Even if they definitely gave... If it was 100,000 and they were giving us that away.
Yeah. I mean, Emery definitely did. Like, yeah, they gave like every option possible and stuff. I just was wondering, like, as far as the asking amount or versus how much they earned.
I think Five Iron Frenzy made over 100 grand.
They did. And they had like packages and stuff like that. I almost gave to that.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't believe that they were the first band that I go that got our attention as far as like, holy crap, you can make that much money doing Kickstarter.
Yeah, for me, the Classic Crime was the first one that I saw that. I was like, oh.
Was that like 2 years ago when they hit it in like a day?
Yeah, I think it was even before that, but they were the first band that I remember that was like, hey, we're not on Tooth and Nail anymore. We're going to do this independently. We're going to do this crowdfunding thing. I think it was back for their album Phoenix, which was like 2011, 12, something like that. And they made like a pretty sizable amount of money. And I remember Mac McDonald posting an article afterwards saying that like that their fourth album was the first album that they actually made any money on at all. Yeah. Because it's
you know what's crazy too is they're about to make all that money. This is the Red I'm talking about. They're about to make all that money, and they don't have to pay for shipping on any incentives.
Right.
Oh, I know.
And that's expensive.
It's, yeah.
So
it's pure profit.
When you look at Emery and the Classic Crime, and you go, wow, they made 35,000, 40,000 or whatever. But then you look at it, and that's like 3,000 things you're about to have to ship in the mail.
Yeah,
that gets pricey.
We did all that, and the idea is like, oh, I get it. It's funny if I even said like, hey, Ravenhill needs $2,000 to get a new thing, a new bus or whatever, and the idea that we wouldn't have to ship anything out or promise anything. That sounds great,
dude. With $100,000, they're renting from now on. They're not even gonna buy. They're just gonna rent one, rent all their gear on tour. They're probably going to have a dope light show.
Already. Surely.
Yeah, I don't know.
I bet you they own a bus.
Yeah, but if you make free $100,000, you might.
Classic Crime, theirs was funded in 5 hours.
That's amazing.
They were asking how much?
They were asking $30,000, and they made $92,000 most recently.
That's something.
That's amazing. Crazy. I'm so happy for them, and I wish I could be happy for Red, but just the way
if they would have asked for 50, I guarantee we're not having this conversation.
I guess that it's shocking that they would do that and then have no heart to want to say or to want to give to anyone anything other than the fact that they exist as a band again.
They might come back and say like, yeah, everything's free. I mean, I get it. All they had to say was, you know, we will be selling physical copies at our shows, but you know, most people get everything through a streaming service anyway. So, even if they said that,
why I'm not even sure if I want to do physical copies for the Trees album. Because right now it seems like why just put it all online.
I will tell you that a lot of people have asked for Midnight Gold on physical, and we've only made a handful of them. And so we need to make some more. So.
Like a CD.
Yeah.
What are they going to do? Put it in their computer that doesn't take CDs?
Or
their car that doesn't take CDs?
Some people still use CD players, man. I'm just saying. You're saying no to a revenue.
Yeah.
Even if it's $100, $200 a year, I mean, you're saying no to $100 or $200 a year.
Yeah. What if it costs $300 to make it?
I won't. Yeah. Well, I mean, or you always had that surplus. I mean... $100 or $200 a year for the next 4 years.
Yeah. So. I mean, I'm not against it, but right now, while the words...
In the words of the Apostle Paul, become all things to all men that you might win some.
All right.
Okay? All right. There, now it's a Christian podcast. Thanks for listening, people that are Christians. Now we're going to take up an offering. We need $100,000
man,
to put out records.
Man, even if we had 10% of that, like...
$10,000.
Yeah.
No.
No, I'm pretty sure if you gave us 10 grand, we'd be set.
Oh, we would do a lot of things with 10 grand. We'd get a lot done with mm-hmm. 10 grand. I mean, like, you would see a whole new... Like, we're struggling on trying to figure out how to do stuff with very little money that we have. The idea... That if we had 10 grand, we'd be like, all right, marketing like crazy. You'd see us everywhere, and we would really be pushing our bands way more than we were able to. We'd be buying on tours.
Yeah.
But you're going to be seeing a lot of us here soon because we are officially going to be at Audio Feeds.
So what?
That's something that I wanted to drop on here. Honey Gold Records and all of its artists are going to be at Honey Gold or at Audio Feed in 2019, July, the first weekend in July. And I'm excited about that.
Me too.
Working on a couple other things, but that's what we can announce right now.
So, yeah. I'm excited. It'll be a great time.
It will be a good time. And if you haven't got your tickets, you should go check out Audio Feed.
What are y'all's thoughts on tie-dye shirts for a music festival? People like tie-dye enough?
They. You mean for words?
Yeah.
Is that the type of band you're going to go? Like, it's like psychedelic hard rock?
I guess.
Because didn't somebody call it like stoner emo or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, I like that. Well, I just, can't
lean
help.
Lean into it if that's your
Well, here's the thing. I can't help but the music coming out emo screamo-y because that's what made me. That's when I grew up.
It's you.
But I do want to not talk about the same old that I've been talking about forever in my songs or what the scene as a whole wants to talk about or whatever. What I want to do with words is zoom out. I feel like everyone's zoomed in on one topic and they just run with it, whether they're passionate in a good way or bad way about it. And I want to zoom out to the, let's look at us as people. Let's look at us as humans, the species. Let's just slow down and look at the nuance in what is human life.
Yeah.
And for Trees, that came out kind of psychedelic. And what's fun about that is you get to be weird with the artwork, which I also like. So I guess.
The artwork you've been putting out there is psychedelic a little bit. So I get it.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's why
I was
thinking. And
tie-dye, it's like a summer thing.
Yeah. Well, you know the Evolution logo I made with the treble clef going into the guy? I was thinking that on
You made that?
Yeah, I drew it.
Oh, I like that.
I was thinking that on a like tie-dye shirt might be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be cool.
Yeah.
I did have this idea, but I hate it now. Have a revolution and then love
backwards,
but then I felt like a youth group and I hated it.
No, that's what Ron Paul did for his campaign a couple years ago. About 8 years back. I liked it. I wore the shirt that had it on it.
Did you really?
I was a Ron Paul guy.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, politics.
My students were talking about politics. It's so annoying when they talk about it because they're like 13 and 14.
Like, I don't know. It just seems
like I'm a libertarian.
Yeah,
no, like, I'm a Republican.
And you go, you can't even spell those words.
They were arguing about one of the guys in class. His name's Michael, and he's 13. Was talking about how he wouldn't have voted, and they were all getting on to him for not voting.
I remember
in a imaginative scenario.
In a hypothetical scenario.
Yeah.
Hypothetically.
Hypothetically.
We had one of our own hypothetical scenarios.
Oh, man.
Which we can't talk about right here. I wanted to bring up, last week we talked about, just for a second, and I had such a great point, I feel like I need to bring it back up, but we talked about like Ghostbusters, that new one coming out, and the idea that Leslie Jones, who was the female... in the female Ghostbusters was mad, like, screw us, right? Because we did, we made this and now they're coming out with the original cast again. And I was sitting there thinking about it after we had talked about it. And I go, that's like Greta Van Fleet getting mad that Led Zeppelin got back together. I mean, like, that's seriously Like they're mad because like, oh yeah, screw us, right? We're just now getting our. By the way, do you guys like Greta Van Fleet?
Not really. No,
I couldn't tell you one song.
Yeah,
I've heard one. It was the SNL
right thing, and they were getting a ton of crap on that SNL thing because they just were kind of dead. Did you see that at all?
Well, that's the only thing I've heard from them was I watched a clip of it online.
And the lead singer was like very like
stoic.
Yeah, stoic. And that was the word I was going to use. It's interesting you say that. And didn't really get into it. But I feel like people think it's cool. I don't think it's as cool. I mean, it's whatever. To me, I'm not worried about.
I don't know. If any sort of rock and roll is played on SNL. I will take that. Not that I'm a fan, but man, it's.
I'm not a fan.
Yeah.
But I'm not like a big cheerleader for Greta Van Fleet at the same time. But yeah, I just thought that was funny that getting mad about the original thing getting back together because you're doing the thing now. Yeah, you taking the torch is kind of stupid to me. So
I agree.
We wanted to talk about like the art versus the story.
Mm-hmm.
We were kind of talking about it a little bit earlier. We touched on it a bit, but I asked you guys, are there any, I was talking to a friend and we were talking about a band here, the Wild Frontiers. They're a great band, but like, and we played with them at Gas Monkey, and about 4 or 5 times when people have talked to me about them, said the same group of words before they said. Like, they recorded at Warner Brothers Studios in L.A. Like, and then they said, and then they would start, the Wild Frontiers, that record. And I was like, oh, so they definitely fashioned a group of words, adjectives, adverbs, like a statement. It's like their one sheet, their elevator pitch for that record and where they're at now. And it made me realize, oh, we all had that thing. Ravenhill's like, oh, yeah, we record to analog tape with the guys at Sputnik Sound in Nashville, Tennessee with Vance Powell and Mitch Dane. And that's our, for Soul, that was our adjective. That was to make us seem more legitimate or cool or whatever, you know? And I started thinking about how, on the way here, I was thinking, it'd be funny if we fashioned a fake story and a fake band that had no, like wore masks or had something that hid them. Now, when I say mask, I'm not thinking of like Slipknot or whatever, but like we're mystery men or women and
mystery. They
mystery. They, that's the name of the band right there. We wrote songs for them. We almost can't do it now that I'm talking about it on the podcast. But unless you are out there and want to do this, and we'll sign you. But we help write songs and we tell this story. Like there's a lore, this fake lore behind it. And I was thinking of other artists. Like it was a big deal when Kiss was going to take off their makeup because no one knew what their makeup was. It was a long time before anyone knew who Corey Taylor was.
Yeah.
Because they had masks. You know, there's the
I remember the first time I saw his face was on a Killswitch Engage DVD, and he was talking, and I was like, who is this guy? I don't even know. I was like, and then it captioned below. I was like, oh, so that's the singer of Slipknot. Weird. Okay. And it was like a solid, like their first album came out in 99, and that DVD came out like 2005, 2006, something like that.
I kind of like whenever there's a good story or a good mystery behind some art. It's also hurt some things too, but because the art has to be somewhat good for it to continue.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some times where I thought the art was just okay, and so I didn't care anymore. Were there any times that like that happened for you guys?
It's not to the same capacity. But there's definitely like in my world guitar, I would say there are definitely good guitar players, that I feel like that because they're a great guitar player, they're well known and well respected. But as far as like a song catalog, I don't think it's as strong. And this might be kind of controversial to say, but for me, it's true. I say like Jimi Hendrix. I believe, yeah, he did write. He wrote some good songs, had some solid albums, but he was way more notable as like a musician, a guitar player, and a performer, almost, in my opinion, over the actual content that he created.
What do you want to say about that? You got anything to say about that?
No, I see where you're coming from. I think Bob Dylan's the same way. I think with Bob Dylan, you've got a guy who's saying he's sold his soul to the devil.
Did he say that?
Yeah, in the documentary, you can watch him talk about it. He doesn't say that he sold it to the devil. The guy's like, who are you talking to?
He's straight up Christian now.
Well, I mean, he at least tapped into the Christian market and sold him albums. We don't know for a fact if he is.
Well, I mean, he put out a Christian album that everyone's saying
I have is it. Garbage. I have oh, it. Yeah, it's called Saved. Yeah. And it's got the hands reaching out. I think he has more than one Christian album.
He has more than one. He has another one, Slow Train Coming or something like that. Yeah,
I have two on vinyl. My dad gave me a bunch of his old vinyls and it was in there.
And everyone was like, this is garbage. He's like, no, this is great. You just don't get it.
But I mean, I feel like
that he stood behind it. He's like, no, this is awesome. I don't know what you're thinking.
And there's a part of him that there's a part of you that even I mean, I wasn't alive. We weren't alive during that time. But there's a part of me that believes that I would go, and he's probably right. I'm just probably not good, smart enough to get it.
Like, well, if you look at their whole body of work,
yeah,
then you would have to consider it a little bit. And if you actually appreciate them, the artist, not the art they make. Right. You know what I mean? Because there's people who make amazing art, but them, the person, you might not appreciate. And so if they're like, this is amazing, then you might go, oh, well, maybe.
Like Kanye West? I like his art normally. I don't always agree with him.
I don't think Kanye always agrees with Kanye. I think he just starts talking and then eventually he stops.
That's so true.
And I think that's just how he operates.
There was a time we were.
I just don't think he cares. Like, he's just like
brand new.
No, he's like, I'll say whatever's coming to my mind.
I never really got on the brand new train. I'll say that. But I know who they are and I like some of their music.
Were you a brand new fan?
About where he's at.
Okay. There was a time about 4 years ago, maybe five, that bands like Me Without You and Me.
That was one that I was going to say when you were talking about the stories.
Shown? Shown?
No, I was just, when you were wanting to talk about art with a story behind it, Me Without You is one of the bands I was going to talk about.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, when Me Without You and Manchester Orchestra and I think Front Bottoms and I'm trying to think. All these bands just tweeted a picture.
Yeah, we've talked about this on the podcast.
The Shown? We talked about Shown?
Yeah, the one where they like gave clues to like the next track and then everybody had to find it. And
that story itself was whenever the story was more compelling than the art itself. Like the music was just okay.
Yeah.
But the rollout was brilliant.
The rollout was the best rollout I'd ever seen in my life. Like, I mean, people were going nuts. I don't think I went into it that deep.
That's a lot of sensationalism, too, with fans.
Like, we were, but they went the extra mile. There was, like, weird things happening to where, you're like, people were video documenting them going to, like, a field in the middle of nowhere.
Because they got to be a part. It's the being a part thing. It's they got to be a part. They got to post it online. Tribalism comes into play.
Yeah.
I'm the biggest fan. I have to find the stuff before other people. You see someone else posting
something. I want to be one of the original fans that, like, went to find their album. Yeah. That's cool. Like, it's a cool story for you to tell other people long term.
So, I value being the fan who said, I like your music, and that's as hard as I'm going to try.
There's probably a Reddit out there, or if you want to know more about it, Shone, Shone, guerrilla marketing campaign or whatever. But it literally was like all these bands got together and helped promote this thing that the drummer from Brand New was promoting another band. But it was genius. They sold out two shows. I think they've only played two shows, one in like Philadelphia and one in New York or something. And everyone filled up those rooms and no one knew what was going to happen. Everyone thought it was going to be a brand new record. Like new, brand new record.
Yeah.
brand new record. And it wasn't. So, and it was like weird art and all that stuff. It was great. And so had, and I remember the first song came out, and all of us were like, okay, it's all right. I couldn't tell you what it sounds like at all right now. But then, like, the other stuff came out, like, oh, whatever, we don't care anymore. I think that's a moment where, like, man, if you're going to do something like this, you better have like your best art on deck.
Yeah, to back it up.
Yeah.
Cause then it'll be just like that was. It'll be a blip on the radar that mm-hmm. that was cool versus actually making a footprint.
Now, if that would have been a brand new record.
Yeah, like, that would have been amazing.
If that would have been science fiction they released then, and that record's great. Then that would have been huge. People would have lost their minds. It's kind of like the movie Boyhood. I brought that up to you. The movie Boyhood, like the reason I saw that movie and the reason I was interested in that movie is because they filmed it over the course of like, what was it, 15 years or 12 years or something like that. They cast the boy with Christian Slater and then they would film every 2 or 3 or 4 years for the next 10 years or so. And then they released the movie. So the kid could grow up to be the proper age. And that story made us love the movie more because it was like, man, a lot went into this movie to make this. It would have been really crummy if they had spent that much time and it was just a okay movie.
Like Gotti.
That probably happens all the time.
It happens.
People spend
all the
10 years on something and they end up just being too close to it.
How's that record coming along?
Dude, this is really short for me.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I also started writing it when I had a band that was still considered a band.
Yeah. that'll change a few things.
Yeah. I was just teasing.
I didn't have a kid.
I'm ready for your record.
Oh, it's getting there. I've been working on it this week, actually. Great. I'm really excited.
The next couple of days, I'm going to be working on some stuff. I think I found at least some of the files that you sent me.
Hey, but progress. I've got an artist now. And so I can finally, I got to be able to promote stuff, but because of freaking the internet, everything has to have a cool picture on it, and I don't know how to make those. So now I will. They're on their way. It's all on their way.
Funny thing in the news, The Office, and more specifically Steve Carell's character, Michael Scott, helped save a life this week in Arizona. Have you guys heard about this?
Yes, I have.
You did?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
This is great. I assumed you would because we're always on the same.
I don't know what you and I click that makes us see the same things. We're on.
Well, I've been off social media for a few days, so I may have not.
Oh, sorry. We didn't want you to stumble.
I know.
What if I stumble?
What if I fall? Okay. Well, here's the thing. Because we got on, you and I were hanging out. You know, obviously my girlfriend Michelle the other night, because she's just so far removed from. Like Christian upbringing, like she didn't know who DC Talk was.
That's
and
right.
So,
she said that we go DC Talk. She goes, "Yeah, who's that?"
Or Audio Adrenaline. She's like, "I don't know," and I'm just like, my mind is just like proceeding to explode.
Yeah,
so
that's
after
what you get for dating a Gentile,
a redheaded Gentile.
Just kidding, Michelle.
No, and then so I proceeded to like show her some like Jesus freak she had never.
You're
heard
doing
of.
A great job out there in the mission field.
Yeah, I know. I'm really. Doing my best.
I feel like people donating to Red's GoFundMe should actually start donating to the work Kalen's doing.
Yeah, it'd be much more productive.
Bringing
I feel
one
like.
Girl at a time.
Why don't we give Kalen $100,000?
There we go. I like where this is going.
He'll be able to make something happen.
Yeah, there we go. But I showed her DC Talk, and she was like, "This is kind of hokey."
I mean, you
or cheesy.
Are.
I'm like,
red head.
Yeah, there you go.
You know what's interesting though is you're getting a genuine grown-up's opinion of DC Talk.
Exactly,
because she never had any of the nostalgia bug in her.
Yeah, it's funny. She's like, I showed her some Audio Adrenaline. She's like, oh, this is a little bit better. Like, she's like,
But DC Talk, she was not on board.
What DC Talk did you show her?
This is what I told her because I was like, okay, I'll show you like a couple things off Free at Last first, just to show you the progression. I showed her like a clip of New Thing, but I was like, you don't really need to listen to that. So, and then, and then I showed her like Love is a Verb and some stuff off Free at Last. And then,
which one is the other night? I met a girl and she looked at me so nice. I asked her for a date since she didn't think twice. A couple of days later, I called her up and asked her.
Is that the one?
And then she said, without a doubt, I took her to the garden where the guests go to olives. She wore a tight skirt and I had seen in college. Some love smoking, drinking, smoking like a sailor. Asked her where she. different from the ones for. She's that kind of girl. That's what it is.
She's that kind of girl.
That kind of girl.
That kind of girl. That's so I didn't show her.
Late 80s, early 90s.
I didn't show her that. I just showed her like Love Is a Verb and then Jesus Is Just Alright, which is Doobie Brothers cover. And then Jesus Freak. I showed her that.
What'd she think about Jesus Freak?
She was like, she's like, okay, it sounds more mature, but the lyrical content is kind of
typical tattoo queen. Yeah, here's this.
It didn't help it at all. The fact that I wrapped the Toby Mac verses in their full, you know, along with it, because that's like one of the few songs I dedicated to memory as a kid.
which was your intro to DC Talk? Was it New Thing?
No, it was the Jesus Freak album.
Yeah, was the Jesus Freak? Mm-hmm. Did you go back to Free at Last?
I went back after I got the live album, and it had the Jesus Freak or the Freak Show album.
Welcome to the Freak Show.
Yeah, and I went back and checked out. I like all the old songs; sound awesome on the live album, and I don't like them as much on the old stuff.
Yeah, I got the instrumentation was way better on the
new thing. Was given to me. My parents would not let me listen to it because they couldn't understand it. My mom, more specifically, and then someone gave me Free at Last, and that was. Like a little, she saw me getting into the grunge things. So she's like, "Ah, quick, let's try to circumvent with this stuff instead." And that's when MXPX and all that came in. But I remember start immediately. Free at Last came in the rotation of me performing in front of church. Some of those songs.
Oh, good for you.
I know. There's video out there somewhere of me. Just,
amazing.
I remember one friend going, the first time I remember Josh." He was doing a song in front of church with a bunch of other of the youth, and then he dove off the stage and landed on his knees at the climax of the song.
You were selling it even back then.
I don't remember that, but I definitely could see that happening. Like, I saw, this is my moment.
You were drunk in the spirit, bro.
Yeah, man. We did a Jericho march right afterwards, and the walls came tumbling down. Continue your story.
But yeah, so...
So she got saved after you showed
up. Yeah, essentially. Now she wants to get baptized.
Well, that's what the Supernatural album's for.
Yeah. No, I showed her a part of Supernatural, but by that point, she was kind of like lost interest in it. So
this was DC fun.
DC Talk is like the, what would they call it? The
Roman Road.
Roman Road to like
Salvation. Romans 8. Yeah.
But maybe you could do that in DC Talk songs. Like first, you kind of like, show her Free at Last with that Martin Luther King clip at the Free at Last. Jesus, or whatever. And then it goes to Jesus Freak is after that, right?
Right.
And then so you show her What If I Stumble, What If I Fall with a little bit of Jesus Freak to like put like the cool edge in there.
Yeah.
And then what's Supernatural? I never listened to it. So
I don't remember songs.
There's got to be a song that's like, now you're a Christian.
Yeah, there's a song called like Dive or like there's one called.
Oh, no, we could. Someone that's a bigger DC Talk fan than us could figure that out. And like, here's the fourth song from the. Maybe you bring in New Thing too, and it's like a four or five song Romans Road to Salvation. Thanks, DC Talk. Decent Christian talk,
yeah.
That's not even great. It's like, yeah, it's decent.
Oh, you're in a band? What do you guys like?
Since I Met You or into Jesus?
Oh, Since I Met You is a great song. That's the one that they play when you get pulled back out from the water, man.
Yeah.
And since I met you, I've been okay. You're pulling my winters into May.
Godsend.
May. It's not me.
May.
They were doing May before Justin JT. Timberlake.
Yeah, they were, man.
Yeah, totally.
You think JT heard like that and goes, it's going to be May.
Yeah.
He's doing that next.
He had to. You know what song is really good? Is a freaking Cry Me a River.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
That's a good song.
Yeah.
It was an escape video.
Justin Timberlake is probably the best thing to ever come out of boy bands.
I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, who's even a close front runner? Or
Marky Mark?
Okay.
That's a different generation, though.
That's a different... He got a different... If you're saying total, yes. Marky Mark. But I don't know. Maybe Justin Timberlake's still better. Because he does act also.
That's true. They're both good actors,
they're
too.
They're both really good actors.
Yeah, dude, Justin Timberlake is just so freaking talented.
Yeah, it's annoying how
He's a Renaissance man.
Yeah, he's great. He's great.
But where were we going before I jumped on that?
Wait. Does the Rat Pack count as a boy band?
No, that's a man band.
Okay. Not a man bun.
No, that's but a man what we band. Have.
But a man band.
Right.
But man band. We were talking about something else before art. I jumped on. Yeah, art. Yeah.
And the lore.
No, you're talking about showing her audio adrenaline.
The way, and well, the truth, and the light.
It was before that, though. You said something that sparked that whole conversation, and I can't remember what it was.
I said, were you guys allowed to listen to DC Talk? I don't know.
Anyway.
I wish we could rewind and listen, right?
I know, right?
So, Me Without You.
Yeah, that was it.
Is he autistic? Does he have Asperger's? What's going on?
Aaron?
That thing that they did where they let him just be weird as possible and never answered it and everyone wondered, I think that's a good example of a lore.
We
eat out of trash cans. All our bus runs on vegetable oil. We may be at the show. We might not be. God willing. Like that whole mysterious.
They did the same thing with Max Bemis from Say Anything, right?
Yeah, I think
was considered borderline. The first thing I heard about after I heard "When I Want You, Wanna Find You Right Where You're Standing." What song is that? Oh yeah,
I don't know song titles.
Yeah, whatever the song that is, it's a great song. I heard that song. I go, oh, that's cool. Who is this? Say Anything. Oh, I like that movie. Oh, the lead singer of this band is certifiably insane, is what I heard. And I go, what does that mean? And he's like, I don't know. He's just crazy. He's went to an insane asylum.
That was such a cool thing to have dealt with.
Yeah.
for some reason.
Mental instability and all this stuff. Is okay. Well, I remember someone saying whenever the Kill Bill movies were coming out, Quentin Tarantino said, no, it's right after that. And he was already working on Inglourious Basterds. And someone asked Brad Pitt, how's it going? He goes, I think Quentin Tarantino's going insane. And we're all better for it. This movie's going to be great because of it. And I remember going, I like the way that sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's already weird. So here we go. I like this song by Say Anything. Or I like Me Without You, A to B Life. And I go, and this guy's a weirdo. This guy might be insane. This guy might be. This is only good for us. I don't have to deal with him unless I pay a ticket to go see him. Or Generator Stage on Cornerstone, mm-hmm. and I get to see not only the music I like or the art I like. I see this band live, which I like live music, but I'm kind of keeping an eye on this loose canon or the wild card,
mm-hmm.
and that's the X factor that sometimes helps us. The whole argument between Taking Back Sunday and Brand New is another thing that story I think was blown out of proportion.
Totally,
it only helped both their bands
masses, because there were people like me who, if you were trying to sell me on a band and you were like, yeah, these two bands, they have this feud, I'd be like, okay, I'm bored. I don't need to hear about their personal, not grown up way of handling situations. I just want to hear the music. What's behind the art? If that's these two are fighting with each other, then I'm okay, what's next?
But the fact that they were writing songs back and forth to each other and all that stuff, I remember.
That would have been amazing if you could release singles the way you do now. How Eminem dissed
MGK.
Machine Gun Kelly, and then he had something, and then he had something.
Oh,
that's so smart.
That was great. And that's smart. Both made millions off of it.
Heck yeah, they did. They knew what they were doing. They texted each other.
It was completely
I'm going to say this. Stage. Make fun of me about this.
Yeah,
I'm cool with you making fun of me about this.
Nobody over 40 making the money they're making is really holding those grudges.
Right.
Right.
I know what we were talking about, and I don't know how we got there.
Yeah, it was just
the CPR.
Yes.
Amazon,
The Office.
Arizona. The Arizona man.
There we go.
The Office.
Yeah.
How did we get?
I don't know.
I can't wait to listen back. I cannot think of the rabbit trail that took us there, but I think I blame you, Kaylin.
Yeah, it was me. It was definitely me.
It's definitely you, because because we both knew where we were going, and then you took us somewhere.
Yeah, but I'm glad I did. That was entertaining.
I'm not pointing fingers, because it could have been me too.
It was definitely me. I own it.
Oh, I sort of.
But
I'm choosing to blame Kaylin.
No, because I said something about not having social media or something like that.
That's right.
Yeah. But so that's right. Yeah,
and then I said make you stumble. So see, I helped.
There you go. So inform me. I want to know.
So an Arizona man, I read one paragraph of this. So Johnny, if you know more, let me know. But an Arizona man, like someone was, I think a woman was choking or was unconscious and needed CPR and remembered The Office.
Staying Alive.
Yeah. And he performed CPR with knowledge from that episode.
That is amazing.
He saved her life, dude.
That's so awesome.
What would have been great is if instead of that, he goes, at first I was afraid.
I was petrified.
Dude, no, if he freaking cut off her face and wore
it. Find a heart. Heart, yeah. That precious because heart.
You hear instead, like, Amazon man murders unconscious woman.
Without any arms and legs.
Because harvesting her organs and wearing his face, her face.
What kind of quality of life is this? They have no arms and legs.
Yeah, isn't that amazing, though?
Dancing. That is incredible. But that, it's not, honestly, not surprising. But, man, that is so incredible.
Yeah.
You're
I think it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, I think we did it.
We did.
Can I ask one last question? We don't have to take forever on it.
No.
Go for it.
I love it.
Has bologna gotten less popular, or do you, like, grow out of it?
I've never liked bologna.
I have not heard.
I hate bologna.
I had it as a kid at a friend's house, but I never was.
I don't feel like I ever got the option to like bologna. It was just here's a bologna sandwich, so you eat
it. Oh, you're saying they gave you bologna?
I had it at school. I had it at home. I had it at people's houses. People just used to have bologna, I feel like.
Yeah, you're right, but I haven't thought about bologna in probably 15 years.
Yeah.
I don't come from a rich family.
Is bologna like high class?
Is bologna high class?
No, I'm saying, but we never resort. I always thought that bologna was like a poor man's meat.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I could be wrong. That's just my perception. I thought, this is what's ever left of whatever animals were not, you know what I mean? And they were like, they brushed it off, they ground it down.
Like a thinly sliced hot dog.
Yeah. And they mushed it up and they go, like, cut these and send them worldwide. I mean, that's what I saw bologna as a young kid. Like, there's probably some chicken in there. There's probably some beef and pork and turkey and feathers and bone.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly intestines.
You're probably more right than you are wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because I just, bologna doesn't even sound good. And neither does Braunschweiger. You ever had that? That's like, and that's considered a delicacy. Brady and my dad loved that stuff. And to me, that seemed like the worst thing to put in your body. So I can't say I've never had bologna. I have had bologna, but it wasn't I bet you as soon as I was old enough to say, I don't want that, I said, I don't want that.
Gotcha. So. I'll do some more research.
Yeah, I want to know.
Let us know.
Riveting.
If you have any knowledge on the history of bologna, email me, Johnny at Honey Gold
Records. All the things to email us about and start a conversation.
That's like, Johnny, that's like your first email you get.
I still haven't got one, man.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, hey, please, quit emailing Josh at Honey Gold Records and start emailing Johnny with no H.
There's 100% chance I'm going to get an email that I'm going to be like, is this Gino is doing my artwork? I'm going to be like, is this from Gino? Baloney. I don't want to. Because I've just been checking my email constantly waiting for more proofs of his artwork because he's doing a whole storyline with the music video and stuff.
That's awesome. Was there anything else you want to talk about?
I'm good. Oh, Daniel Johnston has a documentary on Amazon. And I think anyone who's ever
been. A new one?
No, it's the same one from 2006.
Oh, The Devil and Daniel Johnston?
Yeah.
I watch it about once every 2 years.
But we just can't talk about the folklore of art.
Oh, you're right.
And not touch on that.
He is the perfect example.
Well, what's amazing is he's the perfect example.
Brian Wilson also.
Here's the perfect example. Well, Brian Wilson, it's a little different because at least.
He was great at first and then went crazy.
Yeah. With Daniel Johnston, what blows my mind is he suffers the whole time. It's not pretty. It's not happy. You don't really ever feel good, and you still have people just lifting up that artwork and saying,
yeah,
we're proud of you. And it's fascinating.
Do you like his art?
Oh, I love it.
I love his art, his actual painting.
Oh, yeah, his drawing art's
and
awesome.
I love his music.
Same. I like both. I can't listen to him. Whenever I listen to him, I have trouble. Now, one of my favorite artists of all time, but I have trouble taking certain people like Conor Oberst a little serious. Yeah. After you hear Daniel him Johnson and you song. Go, oh, this is where everyone got the idea. I think he was a big part of the folk artist being totally. Mentally ill.
Yeah.
People being
and
bad
kind of
on
leaning
purpose.
Into that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And
here he is living with his parents, not having a very good life because that's where mental health will take you if it's not treated or if it's not treatable. So that's the scary part of the whole loving the a little bit mentally unstable artist.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, for you, but this doesn't turn out happy for them. It just stays, hopefully people like what I'm making because my brain only knows how to make this and I hurt people around me on accident and I don't even want to.
And then when like an artist actually makes progress and like maybe gets better, people don't like the art as much.
Yeah,
But they're better off for it as people.
Like when Conor Oberst was recording with one mic in a basement crying and then he comes out with beautifully recorded albums later and they're like,
People don't care. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's your homework, listeners. You know, a couple hundred of you guys listening, and I would love to hear your thoughts on the documentary if you haven't seen it.
Amazon Prime.
Post about it.
Amazon post about Prime. It, please.
The Devil and Daniel Johnston, and because to me, that's got to be in my top five favorite documentaries.
Yeah, it changed my life.
Yeah,
not even joking.
I watched it literally. I try to watch it every year, but I know I at least watch it every 2 years since it came out, and It's sad because I actually know musicians that kind of, I think, are not as severe as he is,
mm-hmm.
But have a little bit of that,
mm-hmm.
and they're super creative, and you think it's coming from somewhere else, and I think it might be, but they're so susceptible to like spiritual things and the unbalance of that, like mm-hmm. trying to juggle all that, and because I think it comes in waves,
mm-hmm.
and between the creativity being so genius and then the fear of how they're seeing the world being so overwhelming maybe and mm-hmm. and giving them anxiety and then not having the tools to categorize that or deal with it and there's some friends that I think like deal with that. And I sit there and I think like, how can I help? Sometimes whenever I'm that guy noticing this and saying there's some great art there, but I need to help them like deal with it. Like,
I don't know how to help for sure, but something I learned watching that documentary is just show appreciation for what they're creating. Yeah. 'Cause what's fascinating about that is the need to make things.
Yeah. What's funny is I was recently in, what made me want to watch that documentary recently is I was in the Austin area. I was actually in the town that he lives in now. Mm-hmm. I forget what it's called, which is right outside Austin.
Pflugerville?
Is it?
I don't know. That's where I lived.
Waller or something like that. And my aunt lives there and it's a small town and we ate at this barbecue place and then I remember saying, hey, asking Megan or my mom, like, where does Aunt Linda live? And they said it. And I was like, why does that town sound familiar? And I remember for some reason, a couple days later, that popped in my head that Daniel Johnson was probably there. And I looked it up. And I was like, I could have went and looked for Daniel Johnson. Like, that would have been cool to bump into him. But he's one of those guys. Yeah, I can't believe we had that conversation. I'm glad you brought that up because I would not have thought about Daniel Johnson.
So I think
it's the best example of what we're trying to say here.
And it being good, at least in my opinion. Well, I understand some people are going to go check it out and not like it.
Some people are going to check it out and go like, this, the recording sucks.
It's not about the recording.
It's
though.
Not.
It's Here's about- what it's about. It's about the individual. It's the individual said this here. I seem to be having trouble expressing myself to you here. I made it for you. Will you listen to it?
Yeah.
Yes, I will listen to it. I get to see you, the individual, even more intimate. It's beautiful, man.
I'm going to give one little tidbit of something that I always go is like, this is really crazy, like really cool, crazy cool about him, is that he was so excited about his music. He'd make a tape. He'd sit in his room, made up his own little recording studio with like...
Which was one of those old cassette players with the mic built into
it. Yeah, I think I've heard the...
Over his piano.
He's the guy who he would re-record it every
time. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. Like he'd go give this to a
18 songs.
18 songs, give it to a guy, a tape, and then he'd go home and record another one.
And then go give it away. He'd have to play it all over again.
So they're like, you never got... It's almost like your own show.
Yeah.
But it was the same song. He knew the order and all that stuff. And it was different, probably different mistakes or different.
What's incredible, too, is all the, he didn't even realize the podcasting he was doing when he was constantly just recording himself talk about his life and his thoughts.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing. And not only is he a great creative when it comes to music, but like maybe even a better artist. Like, because he's showing you how he sees everything, how his brain's working. Like, I would kill for that art.
Yeah.
Like, I wish I had some of that. God, thank you for taking us down that hole. I love that. This is also going to be our second most popular podcast because, you know, we kind of trim the fat here. I'm just kidding. We miss you, Alexa and Eric. Rate, review us, tell your friends about us. If you have any questions, email Josh at Honey Gold Records or Johnny with no H.
Yeah, J-O-N-N-Y.
At Honey Gold Records.
We can talk about baloney.
You can talk for all baloney
related
answers, related emails. Just go ahead and just send those his way. What else, guys? Anything else?
I think that's it.
Long live the brotherhood.
Long live the hive.
I love that he says it whenever they're not here.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's the point.
I don't have to worry about him like you saying it by yourself.
Right.
I love it.
Yeah. No, I'm here when they're, it's just because they're not. It makes, it's our thing, it's guys. Like, yeah. The brotherhood that we say every time is our three thing, even though they say
the unholy
it
trinity. It's
shut your mouth, sit back, relax, and listen to the hype.
Oh shoot, it's already 3:18.
You're listening to a Honey Gold Records production. For this podcast and others like it, go to www.honeygoldrecords.com.